Now, real quick, it's the brand new year, it's 2020, and I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions, all right? So I don't necessarily believe in New Year's resolutions. I think I'm married to someone who does, who tries to enforce that on me and the others, and that's great, but Sarah is all about these. They're the same resolutions every year, by the way. But I'm not necessarily big on New Year's resolutions because biblically, how much does New Year's hold? The fact that it's a brand new year, biblically? Nothing. Even a new decade. Guess what? Doesn't matter. Yesterday and today are going to be exactly the same. There's nothing magical that happens at the turn of a new year. It's all what we make it. It's all what we allow it to be. And when we allow Jesus to come and live inside of us and our eyes are fixed on him, great things can happen. And I had to go get the donuts this morning. By the way, my New Year's resolution would be not to have donuts at Community of Hope anymore. That would be my New Year's resolution. And so you see how much New Year's resolutions hold. When will that ever happen? Never. So New Year's resolutions, they come and then they do what? They go. And how quickly do they go? Really fast. Like really fast. Have any of you made some already and broken them? Be honest. Okay, see, because my wife is the only one that still makes them. Oh, we got a couple over here. Okay, I had to go get the donuts this morning. And it was kind of humorous because... Well, I was trying to talk to the person. Her name's Sam, by the way. So if you go to Top Donut, say hi to Sam and just get to know her a little bit. I was just talking to her a little. And she said, I said, wow, so how has this new year been? I imagine it's probably pretty much the exact same as 2019 ended. And she goes, yeah, January is always one of the slowest months. Everyone makes these New Year's resolutions. And she says, but we love it when February hits because by 30 days, everyone is back at the donut shop. And so January, she says, really slow. And February is our biggest month ever because all of the people break their New Year's resolution and they're back eating donuts and not going to the gym anymore. So we're not making New Year's resolutions. That's not what today is about. What today is about, and this is something I want us to really think about. As some of you know, we're a part of this thing called PLI, Pastoral Leadership Institute. And we've got a group of 5 to 6 that have gone, and we're actually in phase 2 now of this, with a second group going through this. And one of the things that is very difficult that they have us do every single time we go is an exercise where it's called stop and start. Stop and start. And so a brand new year doesn't magically produce anything, right? Nothing. Nothing. Except errors on your checks, if you actually still write those, because you're going to still write 2019, then you have to cross it out, rip it up, and make a new one or something like that. But a new year doesn't magically change things for the better. In fact, this new year might produce challenges that were even harder than the last one. I have a gut feeling my year is going to be completely different than what I have known for the last almost 25 years. It's going to look different, very different. And this year, even though it may look different, and even though it may have some challenges, could have some of the most incredible opportunities for us. And I know some people that are going to have some opportunities and some big changes. Hi, bud. There's going to be opportunities and big changes, but the year holds all these things there, but it's going to be what we make of it, and that's going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And so I pray that we can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And today what I want to do is I want to help you with this exercise that we do at PLI called stopping and starting. And because there's nothing magical about a brand new year, biblically there's nothing about a brand new year, but biblically there is a whole lot about change. And there's a whole lot about causing certain things to happen. God doesn't just magically always do things inside of us. Who is that? You want to go with Mom? I'll see you in a minute, okay? I was doing okay with them. Now, it was going to be hard to open my Bible and read these two passages. I want to read a couple passages to you. These are not on the screen. They're not on your cards. So what could you do? Write down. Now, don't write down the whole passage. I want your cards for some other stuff. You can look up the passage later, but write down the reference, okay? So the very first one, I'll go in order. I'll go Ephesians, because it's chronologically, at least in the Bible, the biblical order. We've got Ephesians and Colossians. And I want to read a passage from Ephesians, and then I want to read a passage from Colossians. And just listen to the start and the stop that you hear. You won't hear those two words. You'll hear something different. And I'm going to ask you, what words did you hear that make you think of stopping something? And what words did you hear that make you think of starting something? All right? So listen carefully. I want to read a fairly long passage starting in Ephesians chapter 4. I think that's verse 17. This new year has brought changes to my eyes. Already, I think. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. And I just love those words, as the truth is in Jesus. So here's now what we're going to hear, what we are called to do. 2, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone who is in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. But be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Did anyone hear any words that gave them the idea of stopping and starting from this passage? And if so, what were they, other than Chris? Okay? Jesus is truth. We want to be filled with truth. We want to be surrounded with truth. We want to start seeking the truth and not follow after the lies. All right? What else? Put away. I heard that over here first. Who had that? Put away. Have all of you put away your Christmas decorations? Okay? Good. Because Nick told y'all not to. Right? And you listened to him. And I heard about it. And that's great. Because we don't want to forget. We don't want to forget what this is all about. We put things away, though. And Scripture talks about putting things away. And there's a whole list of what we're called to put away. And then the next list was to do what? Put on. So we put away one list, and then we put on another list. And what you got, Brady? Corrupting talk. Do we put that away, or do we put that on? Bad talk, bad words, taking God's name in vain, lying and being mean. Do we want to put that away from us, or do we want to put that on us? We want to put that away, right? So God's very clear of what he's calling us to put away. Now, what we've got to understand about this is these words are given to people who had come to know about Jesus. As he says, if you really have heard about Jesus, because Jesus is truth. And so when we are in Jesus, we begin to put away things. It has nothing to do with a brand new year, because the new year doesn't magically change anything. It has to do with the change that Jesus produces in our life. And if we haven't seen it, then now is the time to start. And so that's why we're taking this opportunity at the brand new year to say, hey, let's enter this year and let's put away those things that are not of God and let's put on the things that are of God. The next passage is from Colossians. So that was Ephesians 4. And then I'm going to go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, this is our perspective, our focus, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now here's where we get to those same words that are going to sound very similar to what we heard in Ephesians. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. So put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And one final verse, verse 17, I think, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So the Bible may not talk about New Year's resolutions. It may not talk about change that comes at the beginning of a year, because change does not magically come at the beginning of a year. But what does the Bible talk about? Change. Putting off and putting on. Stopping and starting. And so in this exercise at PLI, we are called to do this as a church. What do we need to stop? And then what do we need to start? The whole idea of stopping things. Do we stop everything? Do we only stop things that are bad? Sometimes we might even have to stop things that are good, because maybe they're not really as effective as they need to be. And so we look at this as a whole church. What do we need to stop in order that we might start some other things? Because we recognize that we have a limited number of resources. We have a limited amount of money, correct? We have a limited amount of time, correct? And sometimes we have a limited amount of energy, right? And so we've got to learn, what do I stop so that I can start something that might be more effective, that might really pour into what my purpose is? And we do that as a church, but what I'm asking you to do this morning is I'm going to give you some things to consider. And then the exercise is up to you. I want to encourage every single one of you to take this card with you, that you're going to walk away with some with questions on the front and back, and to take some time over the next weeks, because this may not happen in 15 minutes. And I know this is a lot to ask, and I'm asking, and I'm going to follow up on this, and we're going to keep pursuing this. But I'm going to ask you to do that and to come up with, what do I need to stop in my life? And because maybe it's even a good thing, but it's not really that effective. Or maybe I think it's a good thing because it's not evil, but ultimately it isn't doing anything to accomplish a purpose. And then what do I need to start in my life that could be more purposeful? And to help you with that, we have some questions. And so I've come up with some questions, and Sarah helped me with some of these questions too. Questions that we can ask ourselves to help us think about what do I need to stop? So we're going to put them on the screen, and on one side of your card, I want you to write down these questions, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say a little bit about each one of them, but I'm not going to go into great detail. But the whole idea, now Donna is doing something very smart. She's taking a picture of this, but I also want to encourage you to write it down, Donna, because there's something that happens in our brain when we write it down. It causes us, it forces us to say it almost as we're writing it, which imprints it in our memory. And so the very first one, these are these stop questions. In other words, these are questions to help you think about, what do I need to stop in my life? The first one, what keeps me from hearing the voice of God? We often talk about, we want to hear the voice of God. What is God saying to you? And we hear this all the time. I hear this all the time. People go, I don't know what God is saying to me. What keeps you from hearing the voice of God? Is it busyness? Or, oh goodness, the word just blanked out. It was the word that we were talking about last night. I'm just... complacent. Thank you. Is it complacency that keeps me from hearing the voice of God? Is it because I don't spend any time in the Word of God that keeps me from hearing the voice of God? Because I'm so busy, or because I don't find it interesting? Is it because I have other interests that I like more than hearing the voice of God? What keeps me from hearing the voice of God? There's something about this time that we spend with Jesus, a set time, a set place, and the open Word of God that can speak into our lives. Now, my time varies. Sometimes it's morning, afternoon, evening. But for Sarah, I know it's morning. It's always morning. And so for some people, that set time, set place, and that open Bible where God can speak. So what keeps you personally from hearing the voice of God? I want you to answer that question on your own later. Think about that this week so that it might help you think about, what do I need to stop then? And what do I need to start? The second one, what keeps me from being who God created me to be? Once again, could it be laziness? Could it be complacency? Now we could add in fear. Does fear keep any of you from being what I think God created you to be? I bet it does. We're afraid of stepping out sometimes. And so I don't know what it is for you. You may not even know right now what it is for you. And so I'm asking you to think about this and pray about this. God, what is it that keeps me from being what you have created me to be? Because in Scripture, we are told that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. If that is true, what are we lacking? Nothing. So what's holding us back? What's keeping us from being who God has already created us to be? The third question, what do I do that I know doesn't honor God? This could be kind of that pet sin area. That pet sin that we just kind of, we stroke it, we love it, we say, okay, we like this sin. We don't think this sin is nearly as bad as some other sins. And so we're going to just kind of hold on to this one. The only problem with that is, how does God view sin? Sin is sin, and all sin is an abomination in God's eyes. And so our little pet sin that we've just held on to for years and years and years, because we don't think it's that bad, God thinks it's detestable. And his desire is to change that in us. And so it isn't that we make the change, it's that we recognize something and we allow God to make that change in us. What do I do that I know doesn't honor God? And I want you to ask yourself that question, because it might give you some help in figuring out, what am I going to stop? What am I going to stop in my life? Number four, what are the things I do that waste my time? Now, these things may not be evil things. These things could even sometimes be good things, but they can be time wasters. Anyone want to throw out one huge time waster in today's world? Okay, all of you want to throw out a huge time waster? I heard three or four different ones there. Okay, but I want to hear them. TV, social media, phones, sports, believing the devil's lies. Absolutely. Did I hear something different over here? Okay. Now, this, I knew this would come up. I figured it would be a kid. I didn't know it would be Tiffany. But children, this whole idea of stopping and starting, you are not allowed to say, I'm going to stop going to school. And I'm going to start sleeping in, staying in my pajamas all day, and playing video games. Okay? I'm going to stop that stuff that's good for me, and I'm going to start stuff that's going to destroy me. The whole idea is to stop the stuff that's going to destroy us and to start the stuff that's going to make us whole and what God created us to be. And so, unfortunately, laundry, it's kind of one of those things that just is going to have to be done. But what are the things that waste my time? Think about it. Think about how much time we put in to food prep. Do you see why there's such a benefit sometimes in fasting? For the sheer value of, you gain the time that it took to prep the food, buy the food, prep the food, cook the food, eat the food, and then later clean up everything and get rid of the food, okay? Fasting, you got all that time gained to spend with Jesus. It's a very powerful thing. So even the things on a day-to-day basis, we have to look at, how much time am I spending on this and what is the value of it? Now, we're going to have to eat eventually, But maybe we could scale things down and think about that slightly differently. So what are the things I do that waste my time? And I think we heard some also very good answers in social media, in television. What was the other one I heard over here? Phone kind of is all games. All of that stuff plays in together. And I'm guilty of that too. And so that might be something we really, I think, need to consider. How do I waste time? Money can cause us to waste a lot of time. Or the search for more money that really won't make me happy. And then the final thing, what causes me to be unproductive? Now, this is similar to number four, but slightly different. What causes me to be unproductive? This could be more of an attitude. This could be something that I struggle with internally. This could be the way that I look at myself. Maybe it's low self-esteem and that causes me to be unproductive because deep down I believe I can't really do anything worthwhile because I just don't have that in me. And some people believe that lie of Satan. And so what causes me to be unproductive? It could be something completely different for you. But we need to think about these things. Those are five questions. I encourage you, write them down. Write them down. If you missed your chance, we'll give you another chance later. But there's something about the art of writing it down that makes it stick in your head. And I want you to take this card and I want you to ask yourself all five of these over the next month and spend some time searching out and hearing God. Because ultimately, it comes down to two questions. What is God saying to me? And what am I going to do about it? It's that simple. What is God saying to me? Well, we got to be able to hear, to know. But then once I've heard it, what am I going to do about it? And so those are the two questions that really are the big questions over all this. Now let's go to the start questions. Here's five start questions. Flip over your card. You can write start questions. Because here's what we want to put on. We put away certain things, but then we put on certain things. We're going to get rid of something that maybe isn't so effective, or maybe it totally dishonors God. And we're going to take on something that pleases him, something that he has called us to do. So here's five questions that you can ask yourself and really reflect on that might help you. Okay? So number one, again, I encourage you, write these down. The art of writing it down. What can I do to better hear the voice of God? Well, now that's very similar to the stop question. What keeps me from hearing the voice of God? But now I'm thinking proactively. I don't want to think of what just keeps me from it. I want to think, what could I do that would benefit me so that I might better hear the voice of God? And I will tell you what I have learned in my life. The more I read this, the more I hear the voice of God. The more I put this away or forget about this, the more of a funk I find myself in. The less I hear the voice of God, the less I know what to do with my life. I feel like I accomplish less. I have less purpose. And to me, it's all wrapped up in the Word of God because the Word of God is living and active. What can I do to better hear the voice of God? For me, it's opening up the Word of God and letting God speak. What is it for you? Think about what do you need to stop and then what are you going to start? The second one, what gifts or abilities do I have? These are God-given. What gifts or abilities do I have that could be used to accomplish my purpose of glorifying God? How could God develop those in me? I think the first step for many of us is being honest and identifying what the gifts and abilities that God has given us really are. Let's be honest real quick. How many of you struggle with, I really don't know that I know what gift or ability God has given me for his kingdom? Would you raise your hand if you've ever, I don't know? Okay? I see multiple hands. I think if we look down, deep down, and we read scripture, it'll become clear to us, because we're going to see what many of those gifts are, and then we're going to look at our life, and we're going to see where God has used us, because we all, every one of us, has some gift or ability that is from God. So we need to identify those, and then maybe that'll lead us into what our start is going to be this year. What gifts or abilities do I have that could be used to accomplish my purpose? And my purpose is to glorify God. The third question. This is one that's a little different than the others, but I wanted to throw it out there. Whose name has God put on my heart? Maybe that's what we need to start this year. Maybe God has put somebody's name on our heart. They're just there. We've been thinking about them. We pray about them every once in a while. And maybe we've even called them or sent them a text just to check in. But what if God wants to use me to help raise them up? Whose name has God put on my heart? What am I going to do about that? And here's the thing. If you don't have a name that God has put on your heart, ask God. God, will you, over the next week, reveal to me someone that you really want me to pour into? And so that's a way to serve. The next question is about serving. How might God be leading me to serve? This is a way to look at what the start is. We don't all have to, it isn't where or in what country. Maybe the country is the United States of America and it's in Spring, Texas, or Tomball, Texas, or Cypress, Texas, or Magnolia, Texas, or I don't know what other community you might live in. All the little surrounding communities, Houston, Texas, okay? But how might God be leading me to serve? And that could be in a big capacity, or it could be in a small capacity that no one will ever see. Maybe the serving is tied to the name that God puts on your heart, and you're going to serve them. And no one else in the world will know. But who will know? God will know. Who will see? God will see. Who will bless? I believe God will bless that. And so how might God be leading me to serve? It could be big, it could be small, that matters not. It's all about the matter of giving to others. And how can we start something like that in our lives? And then the final one, what could help me personally grow as a disciple of Jesus? And then what am I going to do about that? Remember, that's always the question. God, what are you saying to me? What could help me grow as a disciple? Well, maybe it would be to be mentored by someone. Maybe to have someone truly walk me through what it looks like to be a man of God or a woman of God and to seek after the heart of God. Or maybe it's something completely different. But what does God want to do to grow me as a disciple of Jesus Christ? I guarantee you, if you spend time thinking about those five questions on that one side of the card, and then you flip it over and you think about the five questions on the other side of the card. And this is why I wanted you to write it down. And I saw some of you didn't write it down. I know that. Okay, so be it. So be it. Maybe there's a reason. But you're only cheating yourself. Because if you just listen to this message and you leave here, guess what's going to change in 2020? Nothing. Happy New Year. But if you take it, if you take it as a gift and you say, God, I want you to use this. I want you to use this in me. I don't want to be what I've been for the past few years because I've squandered my gifts. I've just thrown them away. I've cheated you because I haven't used what you've given me. And I've been consistently doing these things that I know don't honor you. And I call myself a child of God. We're only cheating ourselves. And so I want to encourage you, take some time because God will use it. God will bless it. Figure out, as God speaks to you, what is God saying to you? And then come up with, what are you going to do about it? In other words, what are you going to put away? And what are you going to put on? What are you going to stop doing? What are you going to start doing? And maybe it isn't even doing. What are you going to stop thinking and start thinking? What are you going to stop believing and start believing? What are you going to stop being and start being? It's not all about doing. It's about who we are as children of God. I think God has great things in store for this brand new year. There's going to be big changes. I encourage you, make the most of it. Listen to the voice of God. Open up his word and he will speak and see where he guides you to go, because he will lead you to stop and he will lead you to start, and you might just have the most incredible year you have had in your lives. And then let's see how that benefits even this church, God's church, because it's his, not ours.